You're trying to say to a crook, and that's what we're talking about here, something about let's give you a break if you pay up later, and less than what anybody else is paying. Would you? How do you respond to that kind of?
Mr. Chair, Representative Traynor, and I think that's part of the concern that Senate Revenue Committee had in the perception where the original bill said we would waive one-fourth of the balance because it gave people the perception that we would settle for three-fourths of the tax, which in your example, the merchant would be settling for three-fourths of the sales price. If you amend your example to include what would be applicable to income tax on your $10 carton of cigarettes, you'd have a $25 or $2.50 penalty for stealing the cigarettes and interest at 15% under the current statute for a couple of years probably. So the total charges might be as much as 40%, so it might be a $14 balance now, and then you would get by for half of the penalty and interest or $2 off, so you'd end up paying $12. So under this provision, you never get by with paying less than all of the tax and half the penalty and interest. That's the least you can get by with.
Is that panel?
No.
Oh.
Question was answered.
Okay. Claudia Howell's been waiting patiently to share some concerns of the Public Utility Commissioner with us, and maybe we ought to ask her to come up. You could stay there.
Sure.
And she can explain what the concerns of the Public Utility Commissioner are. I think that has to do with the part of prohibiting state agencies from licensing or doing business with delinquent taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that certified delinquent, alleged delinquent, or?
That I can't answer. Thank you, Representative Hostica and members of the committee. I am Claudia Howells. I am Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Transportation Program of the Public Utility Commission. Our interest is entirely in Section 13, and you have some written testimony, and I'll preface that by saying that we do have another concern in subsection 1 of section 13, which we've been assured will be taken care of by amendments the Department of Revenue is going to present today. I might also add that it was not until that the bill came to the House that we realized we had been included in this bill, and I'm not sure anyone else realized that either. And the Department of Revenue has been very cooperative in working with us and sorting out our concerns. Section 1360, though, is another area that we still have a concern, and we hope it won't be a major one. But that section of the bill requires a licensing agency to suspend the license of a business after hearing a notice at the request of the Department of Revenue. This provision may be of concern to the PUC depending on the number of suspensions and hearings required. PUC currently has 34,365 motor carrier licensees. Many of these are conducted from other states and would not necessarily be required to pay Oregon taxes collected by the department. However, 18,034 motor carrier licensees are located in Oregon and would be subject to Oregon taxation. We believe that the deterrence program for delinquent taxpayers as provided in 12 and 13 will not cause us any hardship. However, if a large number of suspensions and hearings are required, it would adversely affect projected expenditures. And that's our, I guess, secondary concern after the concern we have about Section 13, Sub 1.
Maybe wave.
We didn't hear.
Okay. Do you have any suggested changes, or do you just have concerns? I mean, it's not the time of the session for us to take your concerns and work through a committee process to determine how we're going to meet those concerns. But if you had some suggestions, we might be able to consider those.
Mr. Chair, I might answer there. We did meet with the Department of Commerce and had some extensive discussion with them, and they had some of the same concerns. And we have a very brief amendment proposed that we would hand out that I believe addresses the concerns.
Does that amendment, have you seen the amendment, Ms. Howell?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and it does meet your concerns.
Yes, at least the suspensions, I don't, we won't know until we see what happens, whether we have a real reason to be concerned or if we just want the concern noted.
Okay, would you briefly explain these amendments?
First Amendment is on page 3 of the bill. All of these are within section 13. And there was, in the discussion with the Department of Commerce, much like PUC, there was some question about what tax laws do you have to comply with, and we wanted to make it clear it was Oregon tax laws. That's
that
why that
state Oregon, of Oregon tax laws, or yes. Does local tax laws count too?
I believe it would only be state of Oregon tax laws is our intent. Mm-hmm. So that was the purpose for adding that, so it wouldn't be motor carriers or insurance salespeople that do business in other states and aren't subject to Oregon tax. Then we deleted the last sentence in section 13 sub 1 that said before was a little more restrictive and said no license shall be issued or renewed unless this certificate's made. And that's a certificate that would appear on their application that said they've complied with the Oregon tax laws.
You want to delete that line?
Yes, we would delete that line.
That so they would, just have to certify it, but that doesn't hurt them if they don't certify it.
Yes, if they don't certify. We might be asking some of these agencies for lists of people that refuse to certify that or don't certify that.
Okay.
But that allows us an opportunity to get to that information, but not put them in a situation of revoking or suspending a large number of licenses. Again, on line 44, we have the same language in adding Oregon to the last at the end of that line, all Oregon tax laws.
Mr. Chair. Question.
Representative Hanlon.
Are property taxes Oregon state taxes? Are they promulgated under Oregon state tax laws?
This is just Oregon tax laws. He didn't even say state of Oregon. Yeah. So I guess the question is the intention of this to cover property taxes?
No, it's not.
Oh. Okay, then we would have to say state, because all Oregon tax laws could include, I don't know, does that mean only laws promulgated by the state of Oregon, or is it any tax laws promulgated by any municipality within the state of Oregon?
Or our intention, Representative Hoska, is to only include the tax laws. It would be a real nightmare to certify that they were current with property taxes throughout the state. So I think we're only looking at
some probably aren't. Excuse me for being a little excessive here, but a lot of people are usually a little bit out of compliance. Steve?
If you say state of Oregon, I assume that would exclude any local taxes that you enforce and would be otherwise excluded in the program.
That's right. Now, our intention was to include things like the TriMet self-employment tax and the TriMet income tax, the Multnomah County business income tax that we administer.
Was to include that?
Yes.
Well, what if we override your intention and just make it any laws that we pass in the legislature?
That'd be fine.
and if we said state of Oregon, it would include that.
Mm-hmm. The only other amendment is on the next page on line 8. And again, this was part of our meeting with the Department of Commerce and some of their concerns, where it's talking about lists of information that they would provide us when they had information on their licensees. And our intention is to not have received 34,000 names of PUC licensees. Our intention is to ask for a small sampling of those and to be able to, based on that sampling, do some matching against our master file and see if we have a large compliance problem among that group, then if we do, to move forward. So we change the word and to or such other information as the department may by rule require, so that we could say, for example, with the Department of Commerce, we'd like all the barbers that have the last name of B, rather than to say give us all your licenses. Then we can run samples on those and say that based on our sample, we find that 10% of those people don't file tax returns, so it's worth pursuing more, or only 1% don't file, so we don't want to pursue them any further. So that's the purpose of that amended change there.
So that's on line 8. It says, of each licensee or provider or such other information?
That's correct.
Okay, Chair would move the department amendments with the addition that instead of Oregon, we use the word state of Oregon. Is there any discussion of those? Is there any objection to those amendments? So ordered.
Chair.
Representative Trahearne?
Does that meet the PUC's concern? Does that meet your concern?
Yes, sir, it does, Representative Tran.
Okay, well, I'm glad we met somebody's concern. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I didn't stick my two cents in quick enough, but does that now read all state of Oregon tax laws, or does it read all state of Oregon taxes?
All state of Oregon tax laws.
Well, I think the intent is clear.
Yeah, the intention is that it apply to taxes that are collected on behalf of the state, administered under laws passed by this assembly, but not local taxes, even though local taxes could be construed as being under the laws of the state, since we do pass laws regulating the way of levying local taxes. Well, we are waiting imminently the arrival of the Sergeant-at-Arms. Is there any interest in committee members to move the bill now, or do you want to take a little time to think about it and recess again to come back to have further consideration on this?
About a couple of weeks.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Jones?
If I were to vote today with it as it is, I would have to vote no. The only way I could accept it would be without the amnesty.
Mr. Chair, I join Representative Jones.
You do.
I join.
We're adjourned and call of the chair.